Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled, and it is MotoGP launch season, finally. Whether it's your favourite part of the year or not, I don't know. It's nice to see bikes again and talk to riders, but it gets a little bit thin after a few launches, Yuri, but it's nice to be back and have something to talk about.
Yeah, I think we are warming up, so yeah, in 2 weeks we're gonna have the bikes on track again for the first test, so yeah, excited, and yeah, hopefully things will be a bit more interesting than the last team launch.
We've had a couple of team launches. Yamaha was on the, today's Wednesday, so we had Yamaha on the Monday, we had Ducati last week, and we had Avintia the week before, but we'll not talk about that because the less said about the Avintia launch, the better. Let's start with Yamaha, because it's a revised lineup at Yamaha. We've got Fabio Quartararo alongside Maverick Vinales, a new era for the Yamaha factory team without Valentino Rossi. And it was interesting for me. There was two things that stood out from that launch. The first one was Massimo Merigali, Yamaha's team director, saying, "We believe in Vinales more than he does sometimes." And then we had Vinales saying, "Now that Rossi's gone, there's a chance that Yamaha can be a complete team." What were your impressions of those comments? Because I thought they were very, very interesting.
Yeah, well, I think that regarding the Merigali's comments about Vinales, I think this is the kind of comments that they always do during pre-season, especially in this kind of launch. It's like trying to make a boost on the rider is confident, so I think it's normal. I mean, I think they are right in by saying that the problem with Vinales is that inconsistency, and then probably they are right when the things are not going as expected for him, he falls really deep. So that's what they will be trying to avoid this year. Won't be easy because I think it's part of his DNA, but I think it's good that they have pointed out this point and this weakness, so they can work and trying to find a solution.
From the launch, Merigali talked a lot about the bike, what they've been doing in Japan, and it sounds like they have been working especially hard this pre-season. Of course, they can't touch the engines are frozen, but Merigali said that from what he heard from Japan, they've not built so many new parts in a long, long time, so they've got that coming. They've got Cal Crutchlow's coming to the Qatar test. They're very excited about the fact that they're going to have the full test team there for the whole of pre-season. It sounds like Yamaha is a much more, I don't know if this is a fair comment, but it sounds like Yamaha is a much more serious force coming into 2021 than maybe it has been over the past couple of years.
I'm not sure about that because it's too early. We need to see the bikes on track and to see especially how the people react to the bike. How the people react to the bike's reaction. You know, I'm really looking forward to see if the bike has those drops. You know, when the bike has these really, 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 let's say, bad Sundays, I would like to see a reaction especially from the official riders. I don't want to, because we always give the same example, no? But with Mark, Marquez, sometimes he was not riding the best bike of the grid or the easiest one, and he was able to, you know, to turn the things and to let's say, yeah, to contain the damage. So, and that's what, for example, Suzuki is really good on. So trying to contain the damage on the Sundays where the situations are not favorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a very good point. We saw that too often last season where Yamaha would go from podiums winning one weekend to being 7th, 8th, 11th, which isn't good enough. I mean, if you look at Joan Mir, for example, he was podium almost every race from Austria onwards. You know, Alex Rins was consistent at the end of the season. Franco Morbidelli on the older Yamaha was very consistent. Consistency, and I think this was a point made at one of the team launches, I think it was at the Yamaha launch, was that consistency is the most important thing in MotoGP these days rather than out-and-out raw speed.
Yeah, I think, and don't forget that Yamaha has won 7 races last year. So I think it's the manufacturer with more wins. In the end, the bike cannot be that bad. They just have to find. Or I think they were talking about the tune, right? The make this fine tuning on the bike. So that's what they have to adjust. Trying to adjust the bike, especially for when they have this kind of Sundays with no grip, and so.
It's going to be interesting to see how Yamaha reacts to this. Already last year, Morbidelli's bike was sort of the bike, the direction that at the start of the year, Vinales and Quartararo kind of wanted to go with the chassis. It seems Yamaha, that's the direction they're going again. It'll be more like the 2019 bike. But yeah, it seems like this is quite a big season for Yamaha. You know, yes, they can develop the engine in 2022, but if they don't get things right this year with the chassis, with all of that, then a new engine's not going to make a difference if they can't tune the bike properly.
No, well, actually, there was nice an interesting quote from both, from Lynn Jarvis and Maregalli, about how much the technicians and engineers have learned last year in terms of setup things and mileage things and performance parameters of the new engine, because of they were forced to, because they, with the problem on the bulbs, they were forced to try to reduce the engines allowed to use, and to of course increase the mileage of the ones that they were able to use.
And there was an interesting bit from Maregalli as well, that we knew last year that Yamaha's engines were turned down, but they were able to turn back up the revs from about Misano onwards, which I don't think we knew at the time. So that was an interesting thing, which makes sense if you look at Barcelona, when they got, we saw there that there was Yamaha 1, 2, 3, 4 at one point on the in that race, and you know that's a long straight there, and they were very competitive. So the engine's isn't really the big problem. Yes, it doesn't have the same amount of power, but it's not the huge deficit that maybe some people think it is.
Not for the whole championship. I mean, it can be for specific races, like for example in Qatar. We know that in Qatar Ducati is really, really, really probably the bike to beat there, and in a few other places, but not in the let's say in the full picture of the championship, is not the main problem. Otherwise, last year it would have been impossible for Yamaha to win 7 races with all the limitations they had.
We'll save a discussion about how we think the Vinales Quartararo relationship will go for another podcast, because of course right now it's too hard to say. They're very evenly matched as riders, and I don't think it's going to be, there's no needle between them right now, so we need to see a few races, see how testing goes before we discuss that. But I wanted to talk about, just to go back to that comment Vinales made about the team being one team now. He said for the past 3 years that everyone was going it alone. It was Vinales' team and it was Rossi's team. Now he feels that with Rossi has moved on, with Quartararo there, it can be one unified team working together. What did you make of that comment? Do you think that's a fair comment? I mean, we know the dynamic that's always existed in Yamaha with Rossi and the teammates.
In my opinion, Vinales is a bit wrong to say that, because to me, and not only to me, because I'm not a rider, but I can, let's say, understand this comment as a kind of weakness on Fabio's understanding You know what I mean? So, as we all know, the first opponent is your teammate. So there's no point on saying that. We all know that what they are trying to do is to make the bike more competitive, blah, 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 blah. But in the end, this is it's an individual sport. So, and don't forget, Yamaha have always said that they have potential enough to work in two different ways. So, to be honest, I think that they will be fighting from the race one, and I remember one of the comments from it was Fabio when he said that he would love to emulate Lorenzo. When the team, Yamaha team, was Valentino and Lorenzo, and I said, "Well, I hope we can have the same rivalry." And then I would like to be Jorge because, in the end, he was the one winning the most. So that's what they want. And even Lynn Jarvis said, "Oh, I'm expecting a lot of problems, a lot of management problems," which means that we will have both riders fast. So in the end, I think that they both will try to get the most of the bike, but only from one side. Maybe in precision they will try but in the end they will follow each one will follow its own direction.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think in the pre-season it would be more where this unity would come from, because if we look to the past, the comments between Vinales and Quartararo and with Rossi, they've been different. You know, Rossi always said last year's bike wasn't that different to 2019, but Fabio and Maverick were like, well, actually it's really different. So at least from a testing point of view, if Yamaha have got two riders saying the same things in the factory team, then it's, like you say, they said they can do things differently, but you know, the results haven't backed that up necessarily, certainly from Rossi's side.
Yeah, 100%. So, and don't forget that from what they say to what really is, there's a huge difference. I mean, I remember 2 years ago when we were still traveling, being in the pit lane and like seeing with my eyes than Rossi was using a different chassis, and after that he was denying that he was using a different chassis in front of us. So I was not the only one who knew that. So it is, I mean, in the end we have to follow what you think and what you see, because sometimes what they say doesn't match with the reality.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about KTM briefly, because there was an interesting revelation at their team launch, which was last week. We know that they can develop the engine because they lost concessions during an engine freeze last year, so they were allowed to develop the engine. But Pit Beirer, the motorsport boss, says, well, actually, we haven't developed a super engine, which was what an insider last season was worried, or a team in from another manufacturer was worried would be the case with KTM. That's, of course, he could be lying, but it seems an interesting thing that they wouldn't be, you know, they wouldn't develop an engine. That seems just, well, they've developed it, but they've developed it more from reliability more than anything, from what it sounds like. It was a strange comment. What did you make of it?
I think they're lying. I mean, what's the point on saying what would they say? What would they say? No, yeah, we have a super strong engine. We have built a completely new engine, and we're gonna destroy them all. So that would be,
well. See, that's what I would say if I was the KTM boss, yeah, because a lot of the manufacturers are worried about KTM doing that. So I would sort of stoke fear a little bit.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
I mean, from terms of in terms of image, all the others can say, "Whoa, you."
Yeah.
Took an advantage from this situation, this COVID situation. We all offered them I mean, we all offer you. That's what I'm talking on the other manufacturer's voice. Okay, so because all the other manufacturers offered KTM the possibility of keeping the amount of engines and not losing those two engines, keeping the seven engines for the whole season, but KTM said no. So if you don't have really, really, really important engine, what would you say no? So I'm convinced that the engine is better, faster, and more reliable, more and has more reliability than the last year. So if he says, of course, that we have worked in many things, but he says, if I'm not wrong, the concept of the bike is the same. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's two wheels, one handlebar, and one engine. Yeah, that's, I mean, there's not a three wheels bike. But to be honest, I don't believe them. I don't believe, especially in this kind of comment. That, so
that's fair enough. I mean, Hervé Poncharal did mention in a French media debrief that the engine, that the bikes will be 99% the same as last year, and that they're not going to use a new engine because there's not a lot of testing. Again, whether you believe that or not is a different matter, but that's what he said. So even if they didn't have a super engine, it seems to me that KTM wouldn't even really need it, because the base of last year's bike was already very good, and now they've got a great lineup of at the factory team of Brad Binder, Miguel Oliveira, race winners. They've got Danilo Petrucci on the Tech3 bike. We know Iker Lekuona will only get stronger. It kind of seems to me that even without fancy bells and whistles, KTM is still going to be a strong, strong force this season, regardless of whether they have a new engine or not.
Yeah, but I think that maybe the game changer is how the other manufacturers and even KTM, how they adapt to the new tires. I mean, not the new tires, the Michelin tires. So I would like to see how they, you know, how have they improved the adaptability of the bikes to those tires. So maybe we can see bigger difference this year if the technicians finally have found the way to adapt the bikes to those tires. Maybe we will find a difference there.
Yeah, so
for me that can be the key, and that's why I think that probably, I mean, if the regulation allows me to work on the engine, I would fully work on the engine.
Yeah, so would I. We'll find out when we get to Qatar and we have a look at the speed traps. That'll be the telling thing, I think. Let's move on to Ducati finally, because their launch was the first big one. Of course, all new lineup there: Jack Miller, Francesco Bagnaia. Slightly revised colour scheme. Ducati's, I don't really know what to make of Ducati coming into this year, because like you say, the big thing will be how they've adapted to this Michelin tyre. But they've got two riders that were okay on those tyres last year, so it's an interesting one for Ducati this season.
Yeah, I think in the case of Jack, what Ducati is trying to, yeah, I think Ducati will try to help him in the same way that Yamaha will try to help Vinales, in terms of trying to, yeah, to reinforce his consistency, because it's what, in my opinion, what Jack is missing still. So if he can finally, because I mean, listening to his comments, he was, yeah, well, if I'm really ready to fight for the title, and I'm not gonna make any stupid things. So, well, but I don't think that last year he was, you know, thinking on making stupid things. It just that he didn't have, yeah, consistency enough to fight and to being there all the time. So that's the key. If you want to win the title, and Mir showed last year, if you want to win the title, you have to get points and points and points and points. So that's the key factor. And even Fabio recognized that the other day. He says, "Listen, if my main problem is that I was not ready to accept a seven place. So if you want to fight for the title, you have to be ready for that. And that's what, in my opinion, maybe Jack is missing. So he crashes and he takes too much risk sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. I think, to be fair to Jack, there was a couple of occasions last season where he was in a very good position to get more podiums, and there was some really bad luck. There was Le Mans with the engine problem and Misano with the tear off. That was a weird one. But yeah, you're right. What Miller does need to show is more consistency, podiums every single race. I think, to me, Jack seems like the kind of guy, once he gets that first win on the Ducati, and a proper win on the Ducati, not like a wet weather win, it'll just, I think it'll unlock something in his mind, because he's been at it for a while and he's not achieved that one yet. But I think once he gets one,
you know what,
I think it might just unlock him.
What will be really important for him will be at the beginning of the championship, be there. I mean, be on the podium, of course trying to win. But if he cannot win, be there, top five, top three, trying to be there. And then trying to get used to the new people, to the new team, making the most from the manpower that he will have this year. But I mean, the key factor is that it's a long season, as we've seen last year, and the ups and downs are not good.
Just a final note on Pecco Bagnaia. I think we'd both say the same thing. He needs more consistency. He was quick at points last year, but just too, you know, there's a point last season where he was just crashing too much. He needs to iron that out. I think that's the main comment I think there would be for Bagnaia this year.
Yeah, I think I'm expecting a lot from him, to be honest. I really think that he's a very, very, very talented guy. One of the guys with most talent there. And yeah, if he can stay on the bike and win a bit more confidence, I think he will do really, really good races, and let's see. I mean, he has to deliver. He's in an official team. He's a champion of the world, Moto2. So yeah, and don't forget that last year we've seen really, really good things. I mean, he was really close to win a race, and he got some really good results. And don't forget that he had a huge crash and he misses. I mean, so I think that, as I said, I'm expecting really good things from him this year.
Yeah, so am I. I agree with that. And on that note, I think we'll wrap up our first launch season podcast of 2021. We'll be back next week. We've got the Honda launch, so a lot to talk about there. There's LCR will have launched as well. So, Yuri, thank you very much for your company. I know it's been a few weeks, but it was nice to get back into it. Thank you very much to the listeners. Of course, we'll be back more regular now. We've into the season now. We'll be more podcasts, so don't worry. If you like what you've heard, you can go listen to all of our previous podcasts on Spotify and Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts. And obviously, keep up with Autosport and motorsport.com for all the content from this launch season as we get ready for the start of the 2021 season next month, hopefully. But until then, it's a very warm goodbye and stay safe.